Now, we are really going to hear from the audience and their questions.
We're going to try to ask as many as we can, so we really need your cooperation to listen and be quiet, okay? Go ahead.
Okay, the first question. It's very difficult to get senior housing in New York City. The wait times are years long, and for seniors who primarily speak a different language, the process is even more difficult. We need a solution from City Hall. Do you support a common application for all senior housing developments and a translation of the application in other languages? Yes,
of
you can.
Of course I support it, yeah.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so this is for both of you from Bai Cheng Liu. You both took significant amounts of contributions from developers. How can the people of Flushing expect you in this district expect you to fight for overdevelopment?
Only 10% of my contributions are from developers. My most contributions are from other business people and people living in the area or around here. So there's no conflict of interest for me to take money from developers, because the maximum they can give is $2,750. And why do I risk my reputation for taking $2,750 for agreeing something which is not good for the community? It's never a question that the contribution from developers will influence my decision on helping this community.
I see. Okay.
I have never taken any campaign contributions from developers who develop in Flushing. That is in stark contrast to my opponent, who has received a $2,750 check, as he mentioned, from every major developer in downtown Flushing.
Okay, this is a question from the audience for both the candidates. Please name three of your community involvements in Flushing before you ran for office. Thanks. So three involvements, community involvements in Flushing before you ran for office. Yes, Ms. Tan, you can start.
Volunteering for an organization called DeRoad, which provides senior citizens with home companionship. Joining my community board. And also helping my friend over there, Black, in his endeavors to honor a fallen hero in our community who passed away as a result of 9/11.
I can probably name more than three, maybe 20, but I name three. Flushing Chinese Business Association, American Cancer Society, Flushing Rotary Club, and Flushing Lions Club.
Thank you.
Yay! Once again, we have a lot of questions to move through. So we have, our next question is actually from Adam Kim. This is a question about a senior citizen whose lease is up for renewal. Current rent is $1,500 in a rent-controlled building. However, it is now being increased to $2,000. Is this allowed? Is this possible?
The city has a program to help seniors to stop rent increases. This is called the SCRIE, S-C-R-I-E, Senior Citizen Rent increase program, stop rent increase program. If they live in a rent control or rent subsidized building, the only thing they have to do is to fill out a form, and if they have a problem, we can help them to submit the form.
A rent increase of 30% is absurd, and it absolutely should be illegal. Period.
The next question, I believe it's for both the candidates. Many of Flushing's homeless do not feel safe in shelter and prefer to stay on the streets. What could be done to provide a safer and healthier plan for their future? So this is for the Flushing's homeless. Mr. Koo, you can start.
A lot of homeless people in Flushing, they are not actually homeless. They are the panhandlers. They come here to panhandle for money. And most of these are Main Street. There are a few who are really homeless. But 80% of those people, they came as a group, 30 of them. They divide up the places of all downtown Flushing. They have dogs, they have babies as pups. So the best way is donate to the local charity. Now, if these people don't receive money, they will go to other places. And for the truly homeless people, of course we have to help them. There's a free woman we can call, and there's a homeless service, NYPD, they have connection with. You just call NYPD, there's a homeless person in front of such a place, NYPD community officer will take care of it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Nobody chooses to be homeless. Nobody chooses to sleep on the street. Homeless shelters are just a band-aid solution. What we really need is affordable housing. Affordable housing is the solution. Homeless people, putting them in shelters, it is harmful. They don't like to stay there. Nobody wants to stay temporarily in a shelter. It's not safe. What we need for our community is affordable housing.
Okay, we have a subway question here. To the candidates, what can and should New York City Council do to reduce overcrowding on the 7 line, for instance, by having jobs located locally instead of having workers go to the Central Business District of Manhattan, presumably?
Of course, if we can create jobs locally, that's the best way. No, we should go to schools locally. I mean, right now we have too many students going out of Flushing to go to the city for specialized schools. We have specialized high schools locally. They will solve part of the problem. We create more jobs here. We can ask the local hospitals, hire local, if it's possible, so that people can just walk to work or bicycle to work. There are many, many big or small businesses here. We have to encourage them to hire locally. Maybe the city can give them tax incentive, so that they can hire local people, give them a little bit tax incentive. And
okay. There are two ways you can increase jobs locally. One, forcing luxury condo developers to develop with a union labor force that has an apprenticeship program, that has a requirement that they hire locally, the young men and women of our community. Another way is to support our small business owners who always hire locally. And supporting them means being a strong advocate for them rather than sitting on a bid board that supports the voices of landlords instead. Thank you.
Okay, the next question from the audience, I'll try to read this. Drug is all over. I understand that New Jersey has a good program about drug abuse, and abuse of, I believe, opium, heroin. What can you do? Ms. Tan, you want to respond to that question?
Yes. This is an issue that's particularly important to our community because drug addiction is oftentimes viewed shamefully in the Asian American community rather than a disease with victims who are our children. We have to educate our community and negate the stigmatism that goes with seeking out help for drug addiction issues. We have to educate our parents, our community members, that if we see someone, we know children, we know our neighbors who are suffering through this disease, that we help them instead of degrade them, and we bring forth this conversation as opposed to looking at them shamefully.
We have to educate our children about the danger of being a drug abuser. More people die from drug abuse than in a car accident. This is a serious problem nationwide. So we have to do our utmost to educate our kids and then also provide rehab centers at their convenience. Because a lot of rehab centers, they don't speak any language other than English. It's hard for local immigrants to go to those rehab centers. So we have to provide culturally and linguistically competitive rehab center for people to go. And then, like we said before, we have to decrease the stigma, take away the stigma for being rehab. Thank you.
About two projects that the question asker is saying is wasting taxpayer money. For instance, the meditation garden on 56th Avenue across from the hospital will require unknown funds additionally yearly to maintain beyond the $600,000 that's already been allocated to construct. In addition to that project, the person who asked the question is saying that billions of dollars are allocated for something called bioswales or rain gutters to get rainwater into planted areas and not let it flow into the street. So if you're elected, what would you do about these two projects? And would you reallocate these funds to something else?
Who's going first?
With the medication garden, I have been working with the Queens Borough Hill and the Christina Call, the civic groups, for many years. So finally, we have money ready to build a medication garden in front of Book Memorial Hospital there. This is a very good project. Patients can go there and relax, and local residents can go there and meditate. And about the funding, of course, I will continue find resources to fund the program.
About whether or not you funded something. It's about whether or not the community has input and where the money goes, where our tax dollars go. I would certainly participate in participatory budgeting where $1 million every year of our taxpayers' money are being directed by the people of this district. My opponent refuses to opt into that program, refuses to have the community members have a say in where their tax dollars are going. And I think that that's very shameful.
Okay, the next question to both the candidates. Millennials and young folk who live in Flushing and the district, District 20, cannot afford the 1,800 and 2,200 rent. They cannot qualify for affordable housing or subsidies due to household size. What would you do to help them? Ms. Tan, you want to go first?
I would empower them with being able to find jobs locally. That's really important. A lot of the millennials are facing a deficiency when they go out to the job force. After they've encumbered tons of debt going through colleges and universities, they're unable to find jobs when they come back home. And that's a really, really shameful factor. And the fact that they can't afford housing in the district is endemic of the issue that we have with lack of affordable housing. While we have the economic vitality that Peter Kuh speaks of, while we have these luxury high-rises, the young people of our community are being priced out. Thank you.
People should have a choice, you know, when they study in colleges, whether the degree, when they finish, will get a good salary jobs. So that's to say, you know, we have to tell young people, educate them about the importance of picking a degree for which they can make money. So we have to encourage them to find out that before they go to college. That's very important. Of course, if they don't make enough money, they may have to stick with their parents for a while before they find another apartment.
Thank you. Would each of you please tell the audience what your platform or your agenda is around criminal justice reform? Start with Mr. Koo.
I support criminal justice reform because right now we have too many people in jail. A lot of people commit small crimes, but they pay big prices because they cannot afford to post bail. Bail, $500, $1,000 is too much for a poor family to post. So that's why I propose criminal justice reform so that those people who are who have committed misdemeanor crimes, small crimes, give them a chance, give them a second chance, instead of sending them to court, we send them to an agency to pay a fine. So I totally support that.
As a mother myself, I understand the importance of opportunity for our children. And unfortunately, in our America, in our city, many children, if you are born a certain color, you are racially profiled. You are unfairly targeted by our criminal justice system. Policies like stop and frisk, or however you want to frame it, stop, frisk, and then ask, or stop, ask, and frisk, they're all the same terms. They're all the same terms for racial profiling. And as a mother who cares about the opportunities of my children and all the children in this community, I will staunchly, and articulately hold my position against racial profiling and policies like stop and frisk.
Okay, this is a short question. Please pay attention to this. Can you name one positive thing you respect in one another? One minute, repeat it. Can you name one positive thing you respect in one another? Ms. Tan, you want to start?
Sure. I respect Peter Cruz's shrewd ability to navigate as a Republican into a Democratic seat where the majority of the people in this population are 80% Democrats.
I respect.
We really cannot afford time-wise, and just out of respect, we really need the audience to respect everyone, the candidates and the other audience members.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I respect Ms. Tan's ability to navigate in the financial industry for making so much money to help billionaires to make more money, to game our system. No, to game our system. She's an expert on gaming the system.
Okay. Now we have a somber question. So the anniversary of 9/11 is coming up in a few short weeks. What are each of you planning to do for the families of 9/11 victims, survivors, and survivors?
We should use the day to remember and remember those who were killed on September 11. We have to always remember, in order for our country to stand strong, we have to always be prepared, look out for each other, so that these things won't happen again. Of course, we have to urge the national government to do more things, because national defense and counterintelligence, those are under the federal level. But we expect, we want every one of you to be pay attention. When you see something bad happen, I'll call the police right away.
Thank you, Ms. Tan.
I plan on supporting the day honoring the brother of my friend Raymond Brown, whose brother perished, who lived in this district and perished. He was a police officer who perished on 9/11. I plan on spending the day honoring him in our community.
Okay, the next question is, why did we become a sanctuary city? Why do we have to support undocumented immigrants? This is a question to both of you. Why did we become a sanctuary city? Why do we have to support undocumented immigrants? So, Mr.
We have to support immigration, especially in a big city like New York. Otherwise, a lot of jobs wouldn't be filled. Many immigrants, when they first come here, they start with little jobs. I came here, I washed dishes for many years. I work Kentucky Fried Chicken. The other jobs, they don't want to hire me. So that's why we have to give them a start. We have to protect them. Even though when they first come here, they work small jobs. Later on, they save money. They can all open their little business, and they can go to professional schools. They can start a family. We have to give them a start.
Mr. Koo, your time is up.
So that's why we have to provide Century City for them.
Okay. Ms. Chen?
We have to be a sanctuary city because New York City represents all of the beauties of immigration. It is a beacon of light in this economic and political climate under President Trump that we have to hold steadfast to our core values as a city of inclusiveness, diversity, a city founded on the backs of hardworking immigrants.
Yeah! Oh. This question comes from Nick. Currently, in this district, many of our high school students enroll in schools outside of the district. How will you strengthen local high schools as a priority? Ms. Tan, sorry.
As a mother of two children, I struggle thinking about which schools I can send my children to. And unfortunately, it's a factor that is all too familiar with the parents of our district, that we have to send our children, put them on buses, hours and hours of commuting in order to access quality education. It's because the schools in our district aren't good. And the ones that are good, like Francis Lewis High School, they're bursting at the seams. And no matter how many capital dollars Peter Koo will say that he's funded, it has not been enough because we know in city council, you only have a limited budget. And the true mark of leadership is to be able to fight for additional funding from our public advocate and our mayor and our council.
As I said,
thank
time
you.
Is up. Mr. Koo.
No. Education is the most important for every immigrant. It's the equalizer for our immigrants. I believe the schools in our district, actually, it's really good. It's a myth that our school here is not good. Our elementary schools here are excellent. We have three blue ribbon schools in our district. Yeah. The only problem is high school. High school is overcrowding. Francis Lewis is overcrowded. There's something that we have to find a location to build another high school to accommodate those high achievers.
Yes, you could close. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, the next question is, Flushing Corona Park has long been overlooked by the city. Restrooms are absolutely disgusting. Trash is everywhere. Can the candidates propose a specific plan to fix the public parks? Mr. Koo first.
Flushing Corona Park, recently they started a conservancy group to take care of the problem. They will do fundraising, and later on they will probably have to hire more park personnel to upkeep the park so that it's no dirty. We have a presentation from our office that I think it's in a few months we can nominate somebody to sit on the board of the Flushing Corona Park. So with that, we can emphasize the importance of cleaning.
Okay, Mr. Koo. Thank you. Ms. Chen?
It's really a shame that what little parks we do have are so filled with filth and are just being ignored. Flushing Corona Park is one. Casino Corridor Park is one where crimes actually happen. In our children's playgrounds, we go out there, there's broken glass bottles, cigarette butts everywhere. It's lack of oversight on the part of our council member who have to hold city agencies accountable for making sure that our parks are an environment that we actually want to bring our children to. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Chen.
The condition of sidewalks and crosswalks in downtown Flushing is awful. Drivers are not respectful of pedestrians. They park at bus stops, and police are not part of the solution. They are part of the problem. How will you make Flushing safer for pedestrians? Mr.
Right now, we are Main Street downtown Flushing. The sidewalk is widened for pedestrians, so it's much safer for seniors and other pedestrians to use. On the crossings, we have the pedestrians and drivers, they both have to respect traffic lights. When it's red, you stop. But what happened in here is that in New York, pedestrians are overly aggressive. They cross the road no matter what. And that's, we have to educate them. We have to educate our pedestrians. Of course, we have to educate our drivers too. They have to yield to the pedestrians when somebody is in the sidewalk. Even though they are not right, you still have to yield to the pedestrians.
The problem is, when you have a community where there is a lot of pedestrian traffic and a lot of car traffic, traffic accidents happen. It's endemic of a community that has not received enough resources to support its growing population. We do not have the infrastructure support necessary. I propose having pedestrian overpass bridges. Instead of expanding our sidewalks and eliminating the space that we have for cars, let's think outside the box. Let's think outside the box for solutions that our community sorely needs. Thank you.
Prioritize questions that could be asked to both candidates. Some have asked a question to a specific candidate. We are going to ask one question that has been addressed to Ms. Tan, and we are going to ask one question that has been addressed to Mr. Koo.
So this is...
How long for the answers?
1 minute.
So this is a question for Mr. Koo.
Okay.
You have been the city councilman for the past 2 terms.
Yes.
Why has there been all this overdevelopment in Flushing over the past 8 years? 1 minute, Mr. Cook.
There's no such thing as overdevelopment. No. Every development has to go through community board, go through the board president, and then go to BSA, and all these agencies they have to regulate. They have to go, every development has to go under the current zoning they have. If they build according to the zoning, there's no overdevelopment. I mean, of course, I will fight for balanced development. When you have development, you create jobs. The city has more tax revenues. And downtown Flushing has been always crowded.
No.
It's not just now. No. It's overcrowded. Compared with 10 years ago, I mean, of course, we are more crowded. But where would you want to live? A place that nobody wants to come, or a place everybody wants to come?
I have a question specifically for Ms. Tan. You criticize developers, but you yourself received $43,000, which is a lot more than Councilman Koo's campaign. What do you think of this?
I think that when you want to be a participant in campaign finance, you have to raise the majority of your contributions from the city of New York, as opposed to my opponent from Manhasset in Port Washington, where he actually owns his home. And because real estate is such a wide industry in New York City, that the majority of people work in the real estate industry. It's the largest industry in New York. They could be brokers, they could be construction workers. So to focus on the volume of real estate is really unfair, because for any participant in campaign finance who derives the majority of their money from in-district donors, in-city donors, it's bound to happen.
Thank you.
Asked of both candidates.
Okay, I'll ask the first question of the last two. Airplane noises in Flushing is very serious problem. How do you plan to resolve it? This is a question for both the candidates. So, Ms. Chan, you can start first, and then Mr. Koo.
The airplanes are regulated by the FAA. And so a lot of times council members will say that there's nothing they can do about it. You can pass resolutions, you can call upon other elected officials to do something about it. But I say it is within the power of city council to allocate our funding toward homeowners who are significantly impacted, for their homes to be insulated so that when their homes are developed at a time before all of the airplane traffic, with the insulation, at least in the meantime, while we fight the FAA, that these people can get a quiet night's sleep.
I am one of the first legislators in city council to ask the governor to do a Part 150 study on federal aviation. Part 150 study means to study of noise around the neighborhoods. Whoever who has a problem with the noise, you can call our office and we can ask the authority to install a machine, a noise machine, in your apartment or in your house to record the noise levels. And then we can use this data to submit to FAA and Port Authority. Maybe later on, the solution is they have to change the route. Because right now, every route comes to Flushing. Before, many routes go to Flushing Corona Park. But because of U.S. Open, they changed the routes to come here, and they forgot to change it back. So we have to urge the governor, the state MTA, to change the rules so that the flights can go back. Maybe at least they have to share the burden. All the labels have to share the burden, not just Flushing.
Yeah, you're timing them.
We apologize, we abbreviated one question because it was really long, but we took out a part that substantive part. With respect to the question regarding the council's budget and wasting taxpayers' money, the questioner asks that why are you supporting the meditation gardens when another one exists literally 200 feet away at the 56th Avenue entrance?
This is for Mr. Koo?
Mr. Koo and
Ms. Chan?
Ms. Chan.
I supported the meditation garden because many local residents, they want this garden to be around the hospital for sick patients. Because when you have cancer, that's the worst kind of illness you have. So if there's a garden, you can go out and sit down, relax, talk to their friends. I think this is good. Well, it's good for the community. I will fight for it. So I don't see anything wrong having a garden near the hospital. And the hospital support the idea too. It's not that it's my idea. It's many people's idea. So we should support something. I'm a council member. I'm the community representative. So I respect their opinions. They want something done, I try my best to accomplish it.
Yeah.
When Flushing underwent significant development, rampant changes that destroy the character of our district. I wasn't at the helm when tax dollars are being wasted on projects that doesn't have community support. When I am in office, I will be sure to participate like every other council member in participatory budgeting, where the community actually has a say in where their tax dollars are being spent.
From this round, it is very dangerous at Main Street at Casino Boulevard, right in front of the Flushing Library. How do you plan to resolve this? And
what do you mean by that? Pedestrians?
That was the question.
Well, Main Street and Casino is probably one of the most busy intersections in New York City. So when you cross, make sure you watch the traffic light and don't look at your cell phone when you're crossing. And it applies also to the drivers. I see so many people driving and texting together. That's very dangerous. So if you observe all the traffic rules, we can avoid a lot of accidents. And that's the main thing. I mean, otherwise we can post a traffic agent there, but it won't help that much. So everyone has to follow the rules. If you follow the rule, you'll be safe.
Okay.
the insane amount of pedestrian traffic incidents that we have in our district is endemic of infrastructure that is lacking to support a growing population. The only way to resolve this, because the city, because our community has such a growing population of people who are also contributing to significantly more tax dollars to our city budget, is to ask for more funding than the amount that is given to every council member. Because if you live in City Council District 20, on a per capita basis, we are receiving far less than the amount per capita than our neighboring districts. The true test to true leadership and effectiveness in City Council is to able to articulate this cause and derive additional funding from a public advocate, from our speaker, and from our mayor. And that's what I intend to do for our community. Thank you.